So we'll see if this works. So you're all very welcome back. It's great that everybody except one that I was expecting. So that's great. And today now we get into the scary stuff. I think it's everybody really worries about financial accounts and financial accounting and ratios and all this sort of stuff. Piece of cake, is it?
No.
Great. Okay, that's all well and good. Okay, what I want to do is I want to demystify the whole accounting process for you. Is that okay? I want to demystify it because a lot of people get a set of accounts and they go, oh my God, there's loads of numbers and there's millions of pages and I might as well be looking into a field. So what I want to do today is do the first stage of demystifying accounts for you completely. And if we all stay with it, I am hoping that by the end of tonight, you'll be able to prepare a set of accounts. Okay? Simple. If the accountants can do it, you can do it. Okay, you're cleverer than they are. And that's part of the problem. Because you are cleverer than they are, I find credit controllers tend to overthink this whole thing. Are you with me? And they try to make sense of it, and maybe there isn't any sense to be made of it. Alright? So what I want to do is I want to demystify the whole financial accounting area. So, when it comes to year-end accounts, and that's really all we're going to be focusing on, I'm not going to bore you with debits and credits and debit the giver and credit the receiver and debit assets and credit assets, liabilities and all that sort of stuff. I want to keep it dead simple. Is that alright? So, when we deal with a set of accounts, there are two main documents that we are concerned with. Okay? So, the first document is called the trading profit and loss account. Okay? The trading profit and loss account. So if you go to the numbers in a set of accounts, if you get a set of accounts from a company, the first thing you will see is their trading profit and loss account. What is trading? Trading is buying and selling. Pretty simple stuff. Is that okay? And all the activities around buying and selling appear in your trading profit and loss account. Is that okay? So, if you look at the words individually, trading is about buying and selling, and profit and loss account will tell you whether the business made a profit or whether they made a loss for the period in question. Is that okay? Now, that's important to understand that when we're looking at a trading profit and loss account, we are looking at a time frame. So, the trading profit and loss account is in the past. It's a recording of all past transactions. Is that okay? And if the financial year is a calendar year, it starts on the 1st of January and it ends on the end of December. Is that okay? So what you are recording in the trading profit and loss account is simply everything that happened within that period. Everything that we sold in that period, everything we bought in that period, all the expenses it cost us to make the sales and to do business, yeah? That's recorded in our trading profit and loss account. And if we know what we sold and we know what we bought and we know how much it cost us to get it out there, then we can kind of work out what profit we made from our endeavours for the year. Yeah? So it's that simple. That page tells you what you bought, what you sold, how much it cost you to get it out there, and whether we made a profit. But remember this, it is between this period, and it doesn't always have to be a calendar year. A financial year can run from the 1st of July to the 30th of June. Every company gets to decide their own year end. Yeah? So you can decide whenever it is. And different industries have different standards. In the food industry, for example, it's often July, believe it or not. I work for a few companies with a July year end. All right, so it can be whatever you want it to be. it's a full year. Okay? So that's what our trading profit and loss is. Is everybody clear on that?
Yeah.
Good. So that's works out what being a profit. The second document that we're going to look at today is a balance sheet. And the balance sheet is, and this is very important that you get the concept of a balance sheet. A balance sheet is like as if you stood in a business on the last working day of the financial year and you held up a camera and you went click. And you just took a photograph of the business at that moment in time. Is that okay? So a balance sheet is a moment in time. And it's only a split second. And what the balance sheet records is everything the business owns and everything the business owes at that point in time. Is that okay? So the trading profit and loss is over the period. The balance sheet is just at the very end, you go click. And that tells you how much the business is worth, if anything. Is that all right? So that's the two accounts that we're going to specifically deal with for the next couple of weeks.
Sorry, the balance sheet is at the end of the trading P&L. Is it?
No, physically yes. This will be page one and this will be page two. Is that okay? And they'll be headed up, that'll be headed up trading profit and loss, and this will be headed up balance sheet. Now there's subheadings that I'm going to go through with you today. Is that okay? Because our assets and liabilities. So for a business, very, very clear. For a business, an asset in the balance sheet. An asset is something we own. Is that okay? And a liability is something we owe. All right? And if you want to get into the clever, clever, double-sided entry accounts that the accountants do, but they're better fixed to doing it than we are, all you have to know is that for every transaction in a business, the money has to come from somewhere and it has to go to somewhere. Isn't that true? So why does the balance sheet always balance? Because the money comes from somewhere and it goes somewhere. And in accounting, we just record those financial movements. Is that okay? So this is very simple. And I want you to start the process knowing that this is simple. Okay? So, if we started and finished our business within a calendar year. Alright? So say, so the very first item that will appear on the trading profit and loss account, guess what that will be?
Sales.
Sales. That's what drives everything. So I have my sales figure of, and I'll put in a number just for the hell of it, my sales are 400. Is that okay? So that can be 400 euros, 400,000, 400 million, whatever you're comfortable with. So what that means is between the 1st of January 14 and the 31st of January 14, my sales were 400. In the accounts, the sales figure will never include VAT. It's always your net sales figure. So that is how much we sold for the whole year. So you add up all your invoices, that's your total. Is that okay? And you get your sales figure. Now we're starting to make progress. So we have 400, we've got 400 quid. No, we don't. Because if we are, now it depends on the business we're in. Most of us, I think, are in the business of buying and selling, aren't we? So we're selling products. So if we're selling products, we're either manufacturing those products or we're buying them in. Isn't that true? So we know that when our sales is 400, that doesn't mean we made a profit of 400, that just means we had sales of 400. So if all of the things were equal, I would have to say, well look, my sales were that, my purchases, so what did I buy in the same period? Yeah? And in very simple terms, if my purchases were 250, all other things being equal, my profit was 150. But all things are not equal. Okay? Because there are two things that I have to take into account. Because the trading profit and loss records the transactions that happened within the year. There are two things that happened within the year. One is, assuming if this isn't our first year of operation, I had some stock starting off, didn't I? So when on the 1st of January, I had some stock lying around, yeah? So what I have to do is, I have to put in what my opening stock figure was. So my opening stock figure was 60. My purchases, I said, were 250. And I subtract my closing stock. Because even though I bought 250 quid in the year, I had stock left over that I didn't sell. So that wasn't available for sale within the year. So I have to take that out of the equation. Get that? So if I subtract my closing stock of, say, 70, that is 310 minus 70 is 340. No, 240. Yeah. So this figure here of 240 is my cost of goods sold. So I started with 60, I bought 250 during the year, and I had 70 left over at the end of the year. So for the stuff that I sold, it cost me 240. Do you understand that? I bought 250, but I still had 70 left over. So I didn't sell that 70 in the period. So to count the purchases, even though I bought it within the period, because I didn't sell it, I can't include it. Do you understand? Because I'm only looking at that period in time. I have blinkers on. Anything happened before or anything happened afterwards, I just care about that one period. Yes? So I sold 400. I started off with 60 in stock. I bought 250. I didn't sell 70, because effectively when you do a stock take at the end of the year, you're recording the stock that you bought that you didn't sell. So how much did the goods I sold cost me? The answer is 240. So in other words, 160 of that is what they call gross profit. So that is my gross profit on the goods that I have sold.
The purchases that are recorded, are they anything that was actually, is it made up of physical stock that they have or what was paid for it?
That is not paid for. And the sales doesn't necessarily, is that paid for as well?
Okay.
No, it just means that is what invoices we raised and that is what invoices we received.
Based on just actual stock.
So if I added up all the stuff that I bought from all my suppliers, this is just for resale. So I'm only dealing with stock here. So I bought in stock and I sold stock. I had stock at start, I had stock left over, that's it. And when I work out what I sold, what I bought, what I sold, what I had starting off, what I left over at the end, that's my cost of goods sold, that's my gross profit. So once I bought and sold, I made 160 of a gross profit. Yeah? But I'm not finished yet, because that's not my profit. Because obviously I have expenses. And my expenses are what it costs me to run the business. So I have rent to pay, I have rates to pay, I have wages to pay, I had insurance to pay, I had all the expenses of running a business. Are you with me? So all of your expenses are listed. So you have rent, you have wages, you have light and heat, you have rates, you have all the costs involved with doing a business. So say all my expenses came to 120. Yeah? Because it costs money to do business. Yeah? If I subtract my expenses from my gross profit, I come up with another figure there of 40, which is my net profit. So after I bought and sold all my stuff, I paid all my bills, I still have 40 left over at the end. So that's how much profit I made on the business that I'm doing. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. So just to note the difference between gross profit is before your expenses, net profit is after your expenses. Okay? If you're dealing in multinational territory, we hear all sorts of words for net profit. And multinationals are great, and the Americans are wonderful. So I call it sales, they might call that revenue. Yeah? I call it net profit. You might have heard EBIT. Have you heard the word EBIT?
Yeah.
And you see that in the Financial Times as well, EBIT. And what the four letters of EBIT stands for is earnings before interest and tax. Okay? And why is interest and tax not included? Because as a business person, I don't control the interest or the tax. And if I want to compare like with like year on year, the banks might decide to double the interest rates. That doesn't mean I had a bad year in business. Are you with me? So after my net profit, I have to put in my interest charge and I have to put in my tax. So say that's 20. So now what are called my retained earnings is 20. So after I've paid all my expenses, all my bills, paid my interest and my tax, my retained earnings, the 20, is what I have left over at the end of the year. Does that? And I don't care how complicated, if we're dealing with a PLC, or we're dealing with a sole trader, or we're dealing with anything, it's EBIT, net profit, that's interest, tax, and retained earnings. Every single trading profit and loss account that you look at will always be in that format. Or they might have two pages of expenses. They'll break them down into admin expenses, distribution expenses, manufacturing expenses. They might do all that sort of stuff. The overall theory is exactly the same. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that is, and that's as complicated as a trading profit and loss account gets. All right? So now when you're looking at a trading profit and loss account, I hope you have some insight into what it is and the information that it's telling you. So this is what we sold, this is what we bought, this is my gross profit on my sales activity, these are my expenses, this is how much money I made. So what are my questions when I'm looking from a credit perspective? Is the business making money? In this case, the business is making money.
How do you call the last figure?
The last figure, my writing is fantastic, retained earnings. So retained earnings is the money I earned that I get to keep. Yeah? After I paid all the bills. Is this all right? So pretty simple stuff. Now, my balance sheet then, when I move on to the balance sheet, there are a number of different sections in my balance sheet. So, where do I start? I start with my fixed assets. So what are fixed assets? Fixed assets are the assets in the business that I need to run the business. So my fixed assets are my premises if I own them. My trucks, my cars, my computers, do you get the picture of a fixed asset? A fixed asset is generally something that will last more than a year. Yeah? So my fixed assets are my premises, my fixtures and fittings, my motor vehicles and all that kind of stuff. It could also be my desks and chairs and all. So they're assets of the business. They're something the business owns, but they need it to do business. It's not what we're trading in. Are you with me? So that's my fixed assets. And there's three things in the fixed assets. There's what the fixed asset costs you. Yeah? But what it costs you may or may not be what it's worth. Isn't that true? So we have this horrible thing, or maybe it's a great thing, called depreciation. So I need to, if I buy a car for 10,000, I might decide, do you know what? I'm going to be a bit of a cheapskate now, and I'm going to get my rents to get 5 years out of the car. Yeah? Because that's the way it is. So what I will do is, I will set up my motor car, so I will buy the car for 10 grand, and I will depreciate that by 2,000 a year. So in 5 years' time, that will have a book value of zero. Yeah? Because one of the rules of accounting is that when I am creating a balance sheet, the rule is that the figures that I put into the balance sheet is either what something costs me or what it's worth, whatever is the least. So accounting should be conservative. Are you with me? So I bought a car for 10 grand, I'm going to get 5 years out of it, so I depreciate that by 2,000 quid, so my value at the end of year one is 8,000. Yeah? And that's the value of that asset in the book at the end of year one. Is that okay? So that's fine. And in the expenses of the year, I have to put in depreciation here as well. So it's an expense in that year. That car cost me 2 grand this year. Are you with me? So rather than putting in the 10 grand as an expense and making no profit, I'm saying, look, okay, the car cost me 10 grand. I'm recording that it cost 10 grand. I've used up 2 grand worth of that this year. So that 2,000 is an expense in my P&L account. And in year two, I put in another 2,000 expense, up this to 4,000. This has come down now, my car's only worth 6,000. And so on. Fixtures and fittings, I might depreciate them over 3 years, depending on the active life. You cannot depreciate premises, because they came up with accounting standards before. They discovered the property prices can go down. So that's that. So whatever the cost of the premises is, that's the value. Now what sometimes happens is, now in the real world, they might get companies to revalue their assets just to make sure that we're recording them accurately. Is that okay? And that's the duty of an auditor, but I'll come to that later. Okay? So you understand what a fixed asset is. The knock-on-wood hard stuff that I need to do business with. And I record then what they cost me, how much they've depreciated, and the value, and then I get a total figure here for my fixed assets. In some businesses, and again, I'm only going to give you this for general knowledge, this is not going to be part of the exam process. In some businesses above fixed assets, you have what are called intangible assets. And intangible assets are exactly what the word says. They're intangible. They're trademarks. They're copyright. And the likes of Coca-Cola might say, well, the Coca-Cola or the Nike swoosh is worth 50 million. Yeah, it is, but you can't take that to Tesco. So from a credit perspective, I would always advise you to just ignore them. And if they're in the balance sheet, take them out before you do any numbers and all that sort of stuff. Today, we're not going to be doing numbers or analysis. Today, I just want you to understand what they are and where they come from. And when you do that, then you can go to level two, which is understanding.
Okay.
What
about patents? Would you
patents are another thing. So they might have a value in the balance sheet.
Would you take that in account for credit? Because you can still sell it. No, that's more valuable than.
Again, we're getting into sort of a grey area here. I think you're better to just not count them. Mm-hmm. And if it materializes, it's a bonus. Mm-hmm. You know, can I take a car? Yes, I can. Can I seize their premises? Yes, I can. Hobby as I can, and we get to that exciting bit later on. How to do that? So that's fair enough. So can I enforce a patent? Probably not. I have to go and invent the patent, probably die with it. Anyway. Get this?
Appreciation.
Yes.
How do you know if it's too small or too much?
Because when you... How do you know if it's too small or too much? On the first page, so I've gone straight into the accounts today. If you get, and maybe it's no harm, and I might see if for next week if I can get my hands on a set of accounts for a PLC or something of that nature. There are a number of pages in the accounts. Maybe I should start there. So when I get a set of accounts, now this is only for general knowledge, is that okay? So for general knowledge, a set of accounts, when the auditors or accountants produce a set of accounts, there is the director's report. So it'll have the name of the company, the banks, the solicitors, all the sort of details about the company, the registered number and all the rest. There'll be a director's report who report on the figures. There will be an auditor's report as well, who, if they audit the accounts, and the accountants in that, they will tell you what rules they're using for depreciation. So they say we're using 20% depreciation for motor vehicles, you know, 30% for fixtures and fittings. So it'll actually say it in the accounts.
Right.
And if they change the way they depreciate stuff, there will be a note in the auditor's report that, you know, say I decided, look, I used to get 3 years out of a car, but times are tough and things are hard, so sorry, reps, you're going to have to do it with 5 years. Yeah? So they might change their depreciation from 33% to 20%. If they do that, they have to record it here.
But there are rules.
There are rules. And the value that's in the accounts has to be either the cost or what the car is worth. So if you had a, I won't get into Volkswagen's now. We can keep it clean. So you know, if the car depreciates faster, then it has to be the net realizable value to keep your accounts in order. Okay? So that's that. So that's your fixed assets. The next form of asset that a company owns is called a current asset. And a current asset, and just to explain the terminology, what current means in accounting speak is that it can be turned into cash within 1 year. So current is within one financial year. Is that okay? So, and the current assets are what we use to do business with. So for example, if we have cash, if we have money in the bank, if we have debtors, so debtors are people that owe us money, that's an asset to the business. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's money that we are owed, so it's one step away from money. So money I have, money I'm owed, that's all asset. My stock is an asset as well, isn't it? So the stock I'm left with at the end of the year, when they take that picture, click, my closing stock is an asset at that moment in time. Yeah? So, and now I get my, I put in my figures here, and I come up with, so I'll give you a figure, 20, 15, 68, and 70. Is that alright? So, add that up, 3, 14, and 3, 70. So, that's my total current assets is 173. Yeah? So, cash, bank, debtors, stock. Current assets. Current liabilities. So this is money that has to be paid within a year. And this answers your question here, because my creditors go in here. So these, it's the goods that I've bought that I haven't yet paid for. So that's a debt at that moment in time. Are you with me? Yeah? If I have an overdraft in the bank, or my bank balance has gone into overdraft situation, that's obviously a current liability, because that has to be repaid. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So that's your current liabilities.
Let me just...
Okay, so I have 15 grand in the current account, and I have 90 on an overdraft. So now, bum bum bum, that is 166. So this is my total current assets, this is my total current liabilities. So 7 is when I subtract my current liabilities from my current assets. And from a credit management perspective, this is the number I am most concerned with. This figure here, when I subtract my current assets from my current liabilities, I get a figure here that's called working capital. That's how much money I have to play with. Get it? So, if this is positive, yeah, okay, they have enough money to pay their bills-ish, yeah? So if they collect all their money and sell all their stock, they'll have enough to pay their bills. And as a credit controller, to me, this is a key number in the whole scheme of things, because they're not going to sell a truck to pay you. It's not true, or else they can't deliver tomorrow. So to me, that working capital figure. And then I add my working capital figure. Oh, sorry, there's one other thing that has to go into it. So I have my current liabilities. Then the next thing I have here is my long-term liabilities. So my long-term liabilities are my mortgage, my term loans, or a 10-year loan, or whatever the case may be. That will go into my long-term liabilities. Yeah? So say my long-term liabilities are 46, okay? So now, if I add my fixed assets, my working capital, and subtract my long-term liabilities, I should put 67, is it? Yeah? So it's 106 less 46 is 60. Plus 7 is 67. Yeah? So this 67 here is called my net worth. And the net worth of the business is what the business is worth. So if I turn all this into cash, I have 67 grand left over at the end of the year.
It's fixed assets minus fixed long-term assets. Liabilities.
So it's fixed assets plus current assets minus current liabilities minus long-term liabilities.
Okay, okay.
It's the net worth. So this is what I own, this is what I owe.
Okay.
Yeah?
Leasing, so, sorry. If leasing, if that's a liability, and if, say it's a 5-year leasing agreement.
Yeah.
Where would that go? Is it on to long term?
Now, you're getting into, see, this is where you guys make it complicated. Anyway, I will tell you, it depends on the type of lease.
Alright, okay.
Okay, so if I'm leasing a car, for example, over a 5-year period, the car, strictly speaking, is owned by the finance company. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if I'm leasing a car, strictly speaking, the car is not a fixed asset. It's an expense, so I have to pay my leasing charges on a monthly basis. It's an expense. If I finance the car over 5 years, then, and the car is owned by the company. See, a lot of people don't understand, even on a personal basis, well, do I lease a car, or do I get hire purchase, or do I get a personal loan? They're very different animals. If you get a personal loan to buy a car, you own the car. and you have to repay the loan. If you lease a car, the finance company owns the car, even on a personal leasing, so they own it until the final payment is made. And some leasing agreements have an opportunity within them that says, look, it's 36 payments of 250 a month, and you can make an optional 37th payment and you own it. But you only own it when you make that final payment, up to that date. Yeah? So leasing, but I'm not going to get too far. So leasing, in simple terms, will be an expense. So do you see that? So in my set of accounts, this is what I bought and sold, and this is what I made, and then this is the net worth of the business. So if it all just decided tomorrow morning to pull down the shutters, and these are millions, and I have 67 million to put in my pocket to walk away, why not? Well, no, why not? Because I'm expecting again next year, so maybe I'll just pay somebody 100 grand to mind the shop for me and I'll head off to the Canaries anyway. Is that okay? And then why is it called a balance sheet? So we have the accounts, the director's report, the accountant's report, the P&L, the balance sheet, and then the notes. So you'll see on the set of accounts they have a number 4 or something like that, or 1 or 2. And then you can go to the notes, and so it'll show you, it'll explain to you what that number is. Alright? So that's that. So that is your figures there. Then on the bottom of the balance sheet, so I've run out of space here, so if you imagine on the bottom, so you have financed by. So this is where the money is. So where did that money come from? So there is capital, our share capital or whatever. So this is the money the owners put into it to get it going. Are you with me? So your capital might be 27,000. Your retained earnings is 20,000. And what else? Capital retained earnings. And then, well, that's retained, and then your cumulative, so your cumulative retained earnings is another 20, so 67. So that's your balance sheet. So this is how much the money's worth. Capital, or say you might have shares here or something of that nature. Shares. It's 20. So these are the people who funded the business. Are you with me?
And would you say the capital is part of the long-term liability? Would you consider the capital and the return earnings as part of the long-term liability?
No. Oh. I can understand. You see, what some people get confused with, the accounts are from the company's perspective. So, effectively, the company owes the 27 to the directors.
Yeah.
But because they put the money into us, that money is now locked into the business.
Uh-huh.
So, that's what's funding the business.
And since the company is a different entity, the company has a liability and has to pay someday the capital to the founder, or because there are two different entities. So,
yeah. There are two ways, and I know the Americans do T accounts for balance sheets, which I'm not a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I got a T account as a balance sheet, and on that American model, they would have capital as a liability because it's money the company owes the directors. In my sort of straight line model, it'll become clear to you why this is far preferable from an understanding the accounting perspective. Is that okay? The only sort of change from this. So if it's a limited company, then that's fair enough. If the director takes money from the business, that's a salary paid to the director. So the director is working for the company, the director gets a salary from the company, and the director has to pay tax on the salary. Is that okay? If it's a sole trader, the sole trader can't take his wages out here because the sole trader pays tax on his profits. So if the accounts are a sole trader, you will have over here finance by capital, retained earnings, less drawings. So your drawings will appear in your balance sheet. Is that okay for a sole trader, a partnership, or an individual? Because they are drawing the money out of the business. Is that simple? So, trading profit and loss, this, your balance sheet, what you own, less what you owe is what the business is worth. Simple, simple. Or is it? I don't know. This is coming, didn't it? Okay, what I have here is a sheet. And I have listed down various items that may appear in the set of accounts. Is that okay? And what I want you to do is tick the box and tell me. So the first thing is bank. So does your bank, the balance in your bank, does that go into your profit and loss account or does that go into the balance sheet? I let the clever one among you who was brave enough to shout that out. What is it?
Balance
sheet, because it's something that you owe. Or owe. That's the case maybe. Is that okay? And if you want to cheat and you can read my writing, you can look up. Is that okay? And you have three options. Does it appear in the P&L account? Does it appear in the balance sheet? Or does it appear on both? All right?
Maybe the account.
So here you go. The two there. So if you work away on your own for starters, just do this. There's an extra. Yeah.